Panchamarandasya Gyanangana Shalakaya Chaksur Militam Jena Tasmarasi Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadanti Svahapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. A special welcome to all the devotees from Soweto who came down to join us. They're very often the life of the party with their ecstatic dancing and loud chanting of the holy names. And thank you to each and every one of you who have come this evening, and hopefully will be participating during the next 4 days of this ecstatic festival, aptly called Namruchi. Namruchi means that by these type of functions, we try to get a taste for the holy names of Sri Krishna, particularly in the form of Mala Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Srila Prabhupada told one of my godmothers many years ago when he was present with us that two things are particularly potent in the age of Kali, spiritually potent. And that's surprising, because Shukadeva Goswami says, Kalir dosha nidhe raja astyeka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha parambhaja. The first line in this regard is very significant. He says, my dear king, this age of Kali is an ocean of inauspiciousness. He could have just said this is a very inauspicious age. But our Vaishnavacharyas are very poetic, making their speech very attractive. So he said, it is an ocean of inauspiciousness. Here in the great city of Durban nearby, we have an ocean. It's a saltwater ocean. And it's very vast. You can swim across the ocean, I don't know where you end up, but you swim. It's very vast, mind-boggling. If you're a sailor, there's a storm and your ship is about to sink, you have an understanding of what the ocean can be. Very vast, and very dangerous. So he said, no, this is not an ocean of salt water, where we hear about different parts of the universe and the Bhagavatam. There's oceans of milk, there's oceans of ghee, there's oceans of honey. But here we have an ocean of inauspiciousness. This is Kali Yuga. So how could there be anything good in this age? If everything's an ocean of inauspiciousness, what could be good? So Prabhupada said, in the age of Kali, two things are spiritually potent. Jewels and mantra. Jewels, of course, we hear now in Kali Yuga, I've heard that jewels are not so potent in this age. But if it's first-class ruby, first-class sapphire, no blemish or anything, very potent. Jewels. And mantra. And mantra is more powerful than jewels, because jewels satisfy the, like Navaratnas, they satisfy the nine planets, which have great influence on us, good or bad. By worshipping the different planets, we can stop the bad influence, and by honoring them, we can get their blessings. But that's all within the material realm. But mantra, Kali Kali Nam Rup Krishna Avatar. Kaviraj Goswami goes so far to say in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kali Kali Nam Rup Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali, the avatar is the chanting of Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Of course, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Shango Pankasha Parshadam, Jagnaya Sankirtan Prayar, Jantihi Shu Medashaha. This is a verse from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which indicates that Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation for this age. Sometimes people say, well, there's Das Avatars, there's 10 incarnations, Bas, that's it. But no, Bhagavatam reveals a confidential secret, now an open secret, that there's that same person who was bluish black like a monsoon cloud, who appeared in Dwapara Yuga as Krishna, has again come in the age of Kali as a golden avatar. And he can be recognized by the fact that he's surrounded by hundreds and thousands of bhaktas or devotees who are all chanting his sweet holy names. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi, Gaur, Bhakti Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So yes, technically he's the Yuga avatar. But he gives an avatar, which a process which delivers the people of Kali Yuga. And that's Nam Sankirtan. Very appropriate for the people of this age. People are so fallen. Actually, you read 12th Canto, it's like a horror story. Like they have horror movies. As if life's not horrific enough, you have to watch a movie of horror. Like, really? But misery loves company, we say. You know, misery loves company. So people like to watch these horror stories. So if you read 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a prediction for the age of Kali. I won't repeat it in front of our beautiful deities here, but it's a bad story. It gets worse. It only gets worse. And the materialistic people know that because they say, trust no future, however bright. It's true. Devotees' lives are different. We can trust the future because we're on the path of auspiciousness back home, back to Godhead. By following regulative principles, we no longer fall under the influence of the three modes of material nature. We're protected from Maya. Krishna calls them the regulative principles of freedom, to be strict in our vows. And being protected and being peaceful, we can sit down every morning, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But the world will go on as it goes. It'll become worse because of, well, selfish desires, sinful activities. If you look around now, there are people who are alarmed just by the fact that they're living such an artificial life and they're so greedy for material enjoyment that we've created this whole situation of global warming. And it's been, what's her name? Greta Thunberg, the Swedish girl. She's standing up to Trump. He writes Twitters, you know, speaking how bad girl she is, and she writes something back very strong. She's the young lady. So the world's becoming aware. Actually, when Krishna creates this creation, he creates it in such a way that there's enough facilities for every living being. All 8,400,000 species of life. There's enough material facilities for everyone can live peaceful life. If you take according to your need, not according to your greed. If you take according to your need, there's enough for everybody. But if you take according to your greed, then it makes haves and have-nots. You have dissension, you have politics, you have wars, etc. But there's a way to live. If you're spiritually satisfied within your heart by chanting Hare Krishna, you're satisfied with whatever Krishna sends you. It may be little, it may be more, but ça va, we say in French. If you're spiritually satisfied, you can be happy with whatever God has given you. But if you have no spiritual life, then no matter what you get, you'll be anxious for more. You can be Bill Gates with $50 billion, and you want $52 billion. It's the nature of sense gratification. So because of these situations, the world is becoming so competitive, even to the point of war, imprisonment, torture, hatred. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. We are only 5,000 years into a Kali Yuga, which lasts 428,000 years. I shudder to think what it'll be like in 100 years. What about 1,000 years, 5,000 years, 100,000 years? What is this planet going to look like? Actually, it's described in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam that towards the end of Kali Yuga, devotees are living underground in caves because people are so envious of them, because they're too happy. Devotees are always jolly. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this process is joyfully performed. So as people become more miserable, devotees become more happy because they chant their 16 rounds every day. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. The reservoir of all pleasure. And he's present in the sound of his name. So if you open up your heart to Krishna and you chant with feeling and dependence, asking for shelter, you'll experience Krishna's mercy. That's why one time when Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, what does this Hare Krishna mantra mean? And you know you've heard the record or the tape, the audio tape, Prabhupada says so many times. This chanting is like the cry of a baby for its mother. It is a form of addressing the Lord. My dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, Srimati Radhika, please engage me in your transcendental service. But this time when the person asks, Swamiji, what does this Hare Krishna mantra mean? Prabhupada gave my favorite definition. He said, what does it mean? It means, my friend, my friend, my friend. I like that better than a baby calling for mommy. We're calling out to Krishna. It's like in a stuffy room, if you open up the window, you let some fresh air come in. So in this stuffy society and stuffy world with so many problems, you have to leave the window open. At least chant a few rounds every day. We were with Prabhupada in Rome, and it was a rainy day, kind of cold. So the devotees closed all the windows. So when Prabhupada came into the temple room, he looked around and he said, in higher culture, Aryan culture, he said, we always leave a window open when there's a group of people. I was thinking how practical my spiritual master is. He can speak on Rasa Tattva, he can speak about the cowherd boys in Krishna and gopis in Krishna and Krishna meeting Radharani at 12 noon at Radhakund. And here he's so practical. To stay awake, leave a window open. So, in this age, all auspiciousness is created by the chanting of Hare Krishna. That was demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he would go on Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu, he's the ideal teacher. He's the ideal acharya. Acharya means who walks his talk, as they say in modern, what we used to say, walk your talk. Chari means he teaches by example. So Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of a devotee. He didn't appear as God because people wanted to imitate him. He appeared as the perfect devotee who everyone wanted to follow. One time I was with Prabhupada, one of my godbrothers said, "Srila Prabhupada, we want to be just like you." And we all went, "No, you can't say that. He's the guru. You can't become like the guru." And Prabhupada said, "Very nice." He said, "Because spiritual master is acharya, he's setting the example for his disciples to follow." So our acharyas have set this example. Since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they've all advocated the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. That's the perfect process for this age. Of course, how many people are interested? Even in Dwapara Yuga, Krishna said, not many people are really interested in what I'm talking about. To put it like that. He said, Manushyanam sahasrisu kasyajitati shidai. Amongst thousands and millions of men and women, Krishna said, perhaps one will be interested in the science of the absolute truth. And amongst those few, Krishna says, hardly one understands me in truth. So if that's Dwapara Yuga, how many lesser people are interested in spiritual life in the age of Kali? But that doesn't deter the fact that the human form of life is meant for one purpose. Whether it's the past, whether it's the present, or whether it's the future, there's one theme running through human existence. And interestingly enough, it's the first verse of Vedanta Sutra. What is Vedanta Sutra? Well, sutra means like code, like we have Morse code. That spells yes, Y-E-S, in Morse code. We had to learn that in the army. We didn't have, cell phones in those days. It was all Morse code. So Morse code is you take the huge English language and you break it down into short codes. You can spell a sentence like that. It's much quicker. So what is Vedanta Sutra? Sutra means you take a philosophical concept and you break it down to simplistic phrase. Like Kaviraj Goswami says, elegance is truth spoken concisely. Not one long-winded lecture to make a simple point. You say it, you are not this body. Right? People are still awake. So sutra means that a difficult concept or exaggerated concept, you make it simple. So all the Vedic literature is contained in Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta means the end of knowledge. What is the goal of all knowledge? To understand who I am, who is God, and what is my relationship with Him. That's real knowledge. That's Vedanta. And how do you achieve it? Through bhakti. So bhakti Vedanta. One who understands the essence of all knowledge, that I'm Krishna's servant and I'm stuck in this material world, I have to go home. By bhakti that comes, bhakti. So what is the first verse in the summary of all Vedic knowledge? Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jignasya. That's the first verse. Atato Brahma Jignasya. That human life is meant for spiritual realization. That's it in a nutshell. Human life, just like animals are meant to eat, to sleep, to mate, and fight. You see animals, they're not doing anything but those four things. They're either eating, which they do all day like cows. They're sleeping, like bears for 6 months. They're mating, like you see the monkeys in Vrindavan. They're not shy, they mate in front of everybody. And defending, they're fighting. You never see an animal, a bird, a bee, a fly at a temple, or church, or mosque, or synagogue. There's no cat.
Meow. Who am I?
No dog.
Woof, woof.
What is God? No. The business of animals is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Because of their sinful, their abuse of the human form of life, they're thrown down into inferior species of life, working off the karma of the bad things they did as human beings, but rising up gradually, gradually, gradually to human form. And what is the business of human beings? We say in Russian, chut-chut, a little eating, little sleeping, little mating, or there'll be no human beings. And little defense is required from the rain, from the sunshine, from an aggressive neighbor. But chut-chut. What is the real business? Who am I? Who is God? And what is my intimate, loving relationship? Progress is measured in human life not by material progress. Real progress is measured by the degree that you understand you're not the body, you know who is Krishna, not that God exists. You ask a Christian, who's God? He's God. Okay, who is he? He's God. Where does he live? Up there. Can you tell me anymore? No. Prabhupada said, we know God's phone number. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare. That axiomatic fact, it's a powerful phrase, axiomatic. Axiomatic means there's no debate. It is as it is. Who can debate that the sun rises and eventually the sun sets? It can't be debated, it's an axiomatic fact. Who can debate that there's winter, spring, summer, fall? It's not debatable. Who can debate there's stars in the sky at night? Not debatable. These are what we say in English, axiomatic facts. So this is an axiomatic fact. Atato brahma jignasi. It's not to be debated. You can go on and say there's no God or I'm agnostic. You know, who are you? You're like a tiny flea in the corner of this room. You know one little centimeter. What do you know what's going on with deities and puja and human beings and science and technology? This is not to be debated. Human life means you have to make spiritual progress, or Krishna says, I cast you down into demoniac species of life and you never see the light. Of course, Mahaprabhu is a little more merciful. He says, come out of the darkness into the light. Come out of ignorance into knowledge. Come out of the material world back home to the spiritual world. Yes, sir. But how I do? I'm so sinful. You don't know. Krishna says, I know. Prabhupada said one time, Krishna got a little black book. I heard him say it in Geneva. Little black book. And he writes down everything you're doing. If you're a materialistic person, it's all going. And if it's a devotee, it's all devotional service. Krishna knows. Oh, I'm so sinful. I can't rise up from the depths of illusion. I'm a lost cause. I'm a lost case. One time a disciple said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I was so sinful. Like that. Very honest. Prabhupada, I was so sinful. Prabhupada said, that's all right. When you heard the chanting of the Maha Mantra, you came running. One of my favorites. Yes, Prabhupada admitted, you were so sinful. However, when you heard the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you came running. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to his Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, who am I? but I'm simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So yes, avatar. Kali Kali Nam Rup Krishna avatar. In the age of Kali, the or an incarnation, an avatar, is this Maha Mantra. Jewels for material prosperity and mantra for spiritual prosperity. Prabhupada said, knowing this, these facts, knowing these opportunities, oh, she's here. The cutest little kid in the world. Princess. You remember me? Soweto. I was there. Prabhupada said, knowing this, who would not take up the chanting of Hare Krishna? Oh, but you know, how do I really know it works? People say that to me all the time. Life is short, you have to make the right decisions, you may go off the wrong way. It's so simple, three words, and I get mukti and bhakti and param gatim. Really? It's too good to be true. There must be some strings attached. Anything free, right? You always question. Something's free. Okay, right. You sign up for it, then you know, you get a bill 5 months later for 5,000 rand. You didn't read the fine print. What's free in Kali Yuga? Well, Lord Nityananda has to open up a marketplace. And what's he selling? Mangoes? No. He's not even selling in the market. He's giving away this Maha Mantra. And what is the price? Your lolium. You agreed to chant. Yes, but, you know the Doubting Thomas? Jesus had a disciple. They called him Doubting Thomas because he was always questioning Jesus. Jesus would say something, yeah, but Jesus, like, all the other disciples, shut up. So Jesus named him Doubting Thomas. And when Prabhupada was in Paris in 1974, we'd go on morning walks. And one of my godbrothers, with all due respect, he's my senior godbrother, Yogeshwara Prabhu. He was the cameraman taking the photos. He's a good photographer, super intelligent. So to kind of elicit, Prabhupada to speak, he would ask all kinds of questions. Otherwise, Prabhupada was just chanting japa on the morning walks. So he was always asking questions. Prabhupada, what about this? And one day Prabhupada turned to me and said, to our GBC, he said, does our Yogeshwara have doubts? He didn't have doubts. No, he didn't have doubts. He was just trying to get like this. So, but there may be Doubting Thomases who question, does it really work? So Mahaprabhu's Abhigyana Swarat, God is by definition Abhigyana Swarat. It means that he's present everywhere and he knows everything. Abhigyana Swarat, he's present everywhere and he knows everything. So knowing the hearts of the conditioned souls, he has delivered a process which is effective for all of us. And he demonstrated how it works. He went on his way to Vrindavan, he went to the Jarikanda forest. It was actually a diversion because it's a straight line, well, more or less a straight line from Navadvipa to Vrindavan. They're both North India, situated in more or less the same parallel. But for his own reason, sometimes Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya diverges from that straight path. He went north to Ramkeli to deliver Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. They had never met Mahaprabhu, but they fell in love with him by hearing his leelas, his pastimes, as can we. He went all the way to Ramkeli. They were serving in the government of one Muslim emperor, a And he delivered them there. And to convince the doubting Thomases, the Yogeshwaras, Dasas, Mahaprabhu went south through Bihar. And he went through a jungle called Jharikhanda, just like we have our Jharikhanda Sevika. She's a Chinese disciple of Kadamba Kananda Maharaj. She's not actually Chinese. She's from Peter Maritzburg, but she got her medical degree in Beijing. Is she here, Jharikhanda? Are you here? No? So Mahaprabhu went into the Jharikhanda forest. Why? Because like in The Wizard of Oz, there's lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, lions and tigers and bears. And why? Because by the potency of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, even an animal can be elevated to prem bhakti. Prabhupada said it himself on that famous tape. Even a dog can be purified by chanting Hare Krishna. It transcends all material designations. Man, woman, black, white, colored, green from Mars, cat, dog, bird. Avatar means he who descends from the spiritual world, and spirit is more powerful than matter. What's the example? This body weighs, now I weigh 92. Before coming here, I weighed 103. I said, I can't go to South Africa looking like a blimp. So I went on a diet, I exercised, and rah! So Mahaprabhu demonstrated the potency of the mantra as such that even animals, snakes, butterflies, insects, they rose to the highest platform. When they were chanting, it was audibly like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, not, you know, or snake. No, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama. One of my godmothers was chanting with Bhutta Krishna. At that time, Maharaj was chanting with Prabhupada, japa together. After a few minutes, Prabhupada said, what nonsense are you chanting? Bhutta Krishna, Prabhupada was chanting the Maha Mantra. You're leaving too many important syllables out. You're chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's Hare Rama. Do you see it written Ram? No, sir. Yes? Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You're chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. No, that's not the Muhammad. You take a prescription of antibiotics, right? It says in the fold, 9 days. Finish the prescription. You stop at 5 days, you feel better, throw them away. The infection comes back. It's a science, and Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a science. 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare. So from that transcendental sound vibration, the animals were delivered. They were kissing. The snakes were kissing the bears. The lions were kissing the deer. Prabhupada said they became non-envious. Envy is the cardinal sin. We're all envious of God. Thus we become envious of God's creatures and fellow beings. Envy. I'm better than you are. I'm God. Envy, but they became free from the cardinal sin, the deep-rooted reason why we're here in the material world, because of our envy. Opposite of envy is humility. I'm very happy to be the servant of my Guru Maharaj. I'm very happy to be the servant of Radharani and Krishna. I'm very happy to be the servant. That's our natural position. We're happy when we're servants because that's how we were created. And it's easy because, as Purijan wrote in his book, he titled his book about Prabhupada, he said, "My Glorious Master." My Glorious Master. Isn't it? Our glorious mastership. We love to be the servant of Prabhupada. No one wants to serve in this world because everyone's exploited. But in devotional service, you know the ecstasy of being a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, because you're at the bottom of the totem pole and you get all the nectar coming down. As Shakespeare said, "It falleth from heaven like a gentle rain." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Merchant of Venice. "It falleth from heaven like a gentle rain upon those who deserve it." Parituṇāya sadhunam. Krishna brings this mantra for the pious, means not materially pious, but spiritually inclined. And even if you're not spiritually inclined, you're a monkey in Vrindavan. According to the Jarikanda pastime, you get delivered. So if animals can be delivered by the Maha Mantra, that means the lowest of the human beings, Yavana, those who live furthest from Braj. What is the furthest forest from Braj? Durban. Ban means forest. Dura means the farthest. You're the most unfortunate. But Narottam says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I'm the most fallen, so I get your mercy first." Because Mahaprabhu, he likes to point out the potency of this mantra by delivering animals, by delivering Jagai and Madhais, by delivering the most fallen, so everyone else, there's hope. It's not hope against hope. It's a proven fact, Papa. It's a scientific, this movement is authorized. It's been demonstrated. Science means you have an hypothesis, you have an experiment to carry it out, and you get the result. You can't claim any scientific theory unless you can prove it. You have the theory, you have the means to carry it out, and then you produce the H2O, the water. So this is a scientific, this is not sentiment, some emotion, like Prakasananda Saraswati and his Mayavadi followers, the accused Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're sannyasi, you're supposed to be sitting all day studying the Vedas and very serious, no smiling. You're singing and dancing with flower garlands, jumping and twirling and singing songs. What kind of sannyasi are you? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed what kind of sannyasi he was. He showed who he was when he sat down with the Mayavadi sannyasis and Prakasananda Saraswati. And from his transcendental body emanated the Brahman. The Brahman is the light which the Mayavadis want to merge into. But Krishna says explicitly in Bhagavad Gita, he is the source of the Brahman, that effulgent light upon which everything rests. So from Mahaprabhu came that Brahman. So they're into the Brahman, and they're saying the Brahman, and who's it coming from? Bhagavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even Mayavadis can be delivered. They're the worst aparadis because they deny the existence of God. They decry the existence of God. Even they're the worst offenders, but even they were delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and within moments, thousands of them were chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Hearing this, who would not be encouraged to chant the Maha Mantra? So much benefit. All your sins are destroyed to ashes. All your material desires are thrown to the 10th dimension. And the seed of bhakti, which is eternally there in the heart, it becomes activated. It becomes prema. And the 8 symptoms of love of God become manifest on your body in due course of time. Like a seed, it's there all the time, even in the cockroach, even in the fly, even in the bear, even on Mars, aliens. It's in everyone's heart. But you have to activate it. Like in the springtime, you go to the market, you buy the seeds to plant in the ground. They're just seeds. They may have been sitting there for 10 years on the shop owner's shelf. They're just sitting there. They're not activated. How do you activate a seed? You take the seed, you put it in the earth. And it feels like really comfortable. I'm in the earth. This is where I belong. If you're a seed, right? Like snug as a bug in a rug. We have one class titled like that. Snug as a bug in a rug. My mom used to put me to sleep. Okay, son, you're snug as a bug in a rug. Yeah, mom, I feel like a bug in a rug. What's a bug in a rug feel like? I don't know, itchy. Anyway. Snug as a bug in a rug. But you take the seed, you put it in the ground, and what do? You water it. And by the watering process, the seed achieves its full potential. Actually, have you ever seen the seed of a banyan tree? You know what big banyan trees are. There's a banyan tree to Mayapur that goes for 50 kilometers. You know, they grow up and the branches go down, become roots, they come back up. 50 kilometers. A banyan tree, the same tree. You know how big banyan tree seeds are? Eensy, weensy, teensy, beansy. Seriously, they're this big. A little seed. From that little seed manifests a gigantic. That's a material example. And material analogies, they're not, well, they don't always give us, they give us an idea of spiritual concepts, but they're not perfect. But the perfect example of the seed is the seed of bhakti. The seed of prema, the seed of divine, selfless love for the Lord, which ahitukiya pratiyata brings full satisfaction to the heart. So how do you water that seed? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So who wouldn't chant? Who wouldn't sing these holy names? I don't know. I sometimes mystify why people don't. You know, we all came running, right? Why don't some come running? I don't know. But even Agyat Sukriti, even just hearing the holy name will bring auspiciousness in the future. So we should chant our japa, yes? We should chant like this, and we should go on the streets and take the name to the people. That's how you experience the highest ecstasy. When you share your good fortune with others. And that's very appropriate, isn't it, at this time of year? This is Christmas. We honor our Christian brothers and sisters for their faith in Jesus Christ and the Lord. That faith must be acknowledged wherever we see it. So what is Christmas known by? That little motto, it's better to give than it is to receive. Yeah, I can do that once a year, but we do it every day. Somehow or other, we're all connected, right? We're raising children, we're cooking, we're teaching children, we're working and giving donations, and you know, we're all connected to the Sankirtan movement, and we feel that, like gopis. Prabhupada said to the gopis never ask Krishna for anything. It's a tape. And then Prabhupada started crying. It's a tape. The gopis never ask Krishna for anything. And as we said the other day at some program, love means to give more than you take. So as Prabhupada gave to us, as our Guru Maharajas gave to us, we must follow in their illustrious footsteps and give this mantra to as many people as we can within our short lifetimes. And that goes to your credit. You have a credit. And that credit stays with you birth after birth after birth. Whatever you have material will be lost at the moment of death in one moment. But whatever spiritual credit you've accumulated, and the best way to invest is to share, especially in this Christmas season. Santa Claus, he's out there giving gifts away. Is Santa Claus real? Do you believe in Santa Claus, Manjari? I do. Prabhupada said one time, I remember in London, he said, whatever we can imagine exists somewhere within the cosmos. Some horrible monster, you know, these horror movies, or some beautiful princess like Cinderella, whatever. Whatever you can imagine, unicorns. Who likes unicorns? Well, I like unicorns, they're really cool. But they exist somewhere. And one thing's for sure, Guluk Premnan Harinam Shankirtan. This mantra falleth from heaven like a gentle rain upon those who don't even deserve it. This is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is our qualification? The mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Varesham, Jagannath Subhadra, and Balaram. So let us celebrate their mercy upon us, their kindness upon us, by having what's left of my kirtan time, which is 10 minutes. But it's important to hear the glories of the holy name so that when we chant from the heart. With feeling, remember? My friend,